Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I'm glad the Lord worked out I could come by and be with you folk. And I've always enjoyed getting to come. I remember coming in the old building whenever you lost your feet in that carpet. Didn't know where they were. But I was a little fella back then, see? Wasn't as big as I am now. But I really appreciate getting to come and be with you folk. And I don't take that for granted, and really appreciate it. If you will, take your Bibles tonight and go with us to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. And give you what the Lord's kind of laid on our heart this evening. And want to be an encouragement to the people of God. And Revelation chapter number 1, and if you're physically able, stand and we'll read the Word of God. And if you can't, I understand. But stretch your legs, and we're going to read from verse 1 down to verse number 8. The Bible says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, unto and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." We'll end our reading there and ask the Lord to help us this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight. And Lord, I want to say thank you for the opportunity that I have to be able to come to the house of God. Lord, I realize in the world today, there's places that does not have this freedom. God, I pray that you'll help me not take for granted what I've got. Lord, help us as we preach the Word of God. Lord, as the Word of God goes forth, Lord, I pray that it'll be a blessing and an encouragement and a help to your people. Lord, there's men here that's got to go to work tomorrow. There's mamas that's got to do their daily routine. There's kids got to go to school. People got to do all the things of this week. And Lord, they need something from you. And God, I pray that you'll give them what they need. Lord, I'll be sure to give you all the honor and all the glory. Because Lord, I know if anything's going to get done, it's going to be because of you. Lord, help us now. For it's in your name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now here in the text in which we've read out of Revelation chapter number 1. And what a interesting book of the Bible Revelation is. And it's amazing how that when you begin reading the Bible and you begin studying, that things come alive at times. And if you have a red letter edition Bible, you'll find that some of these verses in which we've read tonight are in red letter. And that's because the Lord is speaking of Himself. And we find that I'm glad that I've got a Lord. I'm glad that I've got the Lord Jesus who wants to show Himself to me and show Himself to you. I'm glad that He'll come to where I am and He'll show something that I've never seen of Him before. And it'll be an encouragement and it'll be a enlightenment and it'll be a thing that I'll never get over. And we find here that the Lord Jesus presents Himself in some different ways. And in verse number 8, we find the Bible says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And here in this verse, we find the Lord presenting Himself in some different ways. And what a blessing that is. I'm glad that I've got a God that'll talk to me. I'm glad that He'll want to take time with somebody like me. Now, all other so-called gods in the world, they ain't never said nothing to nobody because they dead. But we got a God tonight that can talk to you and I when we're going through something in our life and we need something from Him. He can give us exactly what we need when we need it. And here we find the Lord Jesus presenting Himself in some different ways to you and I. First of all, we find the Bible says at the end of verse number 8, He shows Himself, He says, the Almighty. And He is. We serve a God tonight that there is no power above Him. I ain't found none yet, and you'll never find none yourself. And it's amazing when you think about Him being the Almighty, the All-Powerful. There's nothing that's ever took Him by surprise. He's in control of everything that takes place. And when you begin thinking about Him being the Almighty One, in creation, He shows us His power. He stepped out on nothing, and what you and I see today, He spoke her into existence. He showed you and I His power in creation. He took man from the dust to the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That did not happen by two worlds colliding. That did not happen by a big bang. That happened by the God of heaven that formed man. And man became a living soul. We find that when you look at that, you see the power of God. I've asked people this before. I'll ask it here tonight. How many of us got up this morning and thought about breathing? Ain't nobody. This morning when I got up, I don't remember. It's been a long time ago. But I wasn't about breathing. And yet the God of heaven holds her in His hand and shuts it off and turn it on. As the Almighty One, He's keeping us alive. If God dies, it's all over, but He'll never die. We've got an Almighty God, and He shows us His might in creation. Here on earth, when Christ lived 33 and a half years, every once in a while, God would jump out. See, He was 100% man, but He was 100% God also. And every once in a while, we'd see the God side. When you and I walk in a rainstorm, we walk in a mud puddle. But we find our God, He had power to walk on top of one. When you think about Him, the elements of life never
hindered him because he's the Almighty. Think about the feeding of the 5,000, how the Lord took 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed the multitude. And you and I'd sit down 5 loaves, 2 fish, and it might feed 3 or 4 of us. But as the Almighty, do you ever think about this? Disease never had no handle on him. As the Almighty, he could go up to a leper and the leper would be cleansed. He wouldn't get corrupted, no way. The elements of life, the diseases of life, never messed with him because we see that he's the Almighty of life. What a God that you and I serve as the Almighty of life. But not only do we see that he's the Almighty of life, but in the middle of the verse we find the Bible says, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. Not only do we find that he's the Almighty of life, but we find here that he's the author of life. See, he which is he which was, and he is which is to come. Before man ever fell in the garden, before creation was ever spoken into existence, he was. Now, we don't know what went on back there, but we know God was there. And he which was before man ever fell in the garden, we find that he was as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. There was already a plan set for when man fell. Now, I don't know how to explain all that, but what a God that we have that is interested in you and I like that. And when man fell, we find that there was already a plan. And we find here that as the author of life, he came to this earth. In verse number 5, the middle of the verse, we find the Bible says, unto him that loved us. When you begin trying to think about and pondering on the love of God, he which was the author of life, when man fell, he loved you and I. He loved the creation in which he created. He loved the souls of men. He loved you and I. We find that the Lord Jesus loved us so much. The Bible says in John 3:16, everybody knows this verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I can't explain to you the love of God, but I can invite you to come experience it for yourself. You can come get in on it. And we find him as the author of life unto him that loved us. But he just didn't say, I love you. We find he put boots on and did something about it. It's one thing to say, I love you. But it's another thing to come down here. We find at the end of the verse, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, he came down and showed his love as the author of life. Not only did he love us, not only did he wash us, but we find in verse number 6, and hath made us kings and priests. Now to the world tonight, they think we crazy. They think that this is just unbelievable that somebody would go Sunday morning, but Sunday night, I mean, what in the world? But they don't realize that I'm sitting looking at some kings tonight. We're kings. Now, to the world, we don't look like we got anything. To the world, Christianity looks just so feeble. And yet we're so strong. And it ain't because of you and I, but it's because of our captain. It's because of our leader. It's because of him which was, which is, and which is to come. The author of life. The one that loved us, washed us, and has made us. See, I ain't what I'm going to be yet. Still working on me, but I'm not what I was. And so we find here in the Bible, we find that he's the Almighty of life, and he's the author of life. Did you know God's interested in you? I've really thought about it. Why would God be interested in me? Why would God be interested in you? But he is. I don't know who he is now, but at one time, they said Bill Gates was the richest man in the world. I don't know who he is now. Probably somebody way exceeded that and way out there now. But I read this one time. Said if Bill Gates had to feed the bird world, said he'd go broke in 3 days. The bird world. And yet our God feeds the birds every day. And he's still interested in you and I. And he ain't had no problem taking care of the birds. And he's interested in my needs and what I need as a child of God. And what you need. I'm glad that we're not Catholics. I'm glad that I ain't got to go see a priest about what I need. I can go directly to my Savior, the God of heaven. And I can tell him what I need. And he can supply my need because he's interested in somebody like me and somebody like you. What a God that's interested in us. But not only do we see that he's the Almighty of life, not only do we see that he is the author of life, but we find in the beginning of the verse, the Bible says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord. We looked at him as the Almighty of life, and he is. We find that he's the author of life. He's the one started this thing. And he'll be the one to end it. But here we find that he's the alphabet of life. Now, I don't know Greek. I really don't. But they tell me from what I've read and studied that this word alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. And I've read and studied, and they tell me that the word Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. And I believe them. I believe them. But I don't know Greek. And I don't believe that I would be messing with anything, but for us that speak English and don't know Greek, what he's saying is, I am the A and I'm the Z. And all in between. And I got to thinking about the Lord Jesus being the alphabet of life. Not only is he the Almighty of life and the author of life, but we find that he's the alphabet of life. And I got to pondering about our alphabet. 26 letters is all it is. It was when I was in school. I don't think it's changed yet. But 26 letters. And I got to thinking about when you take the alphabet, 26 letters, and you take it and you begin looking at it along beside the Lord Jesus. I ain't never looked at it the same since. At how the alphabet compares to the Lord. And the Lord Jesus here said, I am the alphabet. That's what he's saying. I'm the Alpha and I'm the Omega. And when you begin thinking about him saying of himself that he is the alphabet, there's not but 26 letters in the alphabet. And I got thinking about it. That's all you need to know how to read. To know how to read, you just got to be able to learn them 26 letters. And when the Lord Jesus said of himself, I am the alphabet, just like that's all you need to know how to read, he's all you need. We don't need nothing else but him. He's all we need. And I got to thinking about the alphabet. You know what is in your Bible sitting in your lap right now? You know how many letters that is? 26. Now, it's arranged and rearranged and moved here and moved there, but it's just 26 letters. And I got to thinking about the Lord, how he said of himself, I am the alphabet. Did you know he'll fit in any problem? Any situation. He'll fit perfect. I don't know what problem you got going on tonight in your life, but I can tell you tonight, he'll fit in any problem. And I got to thinking about the alphabet. And when I got to thinking about it, did you know that they've never come up with another letter? You know why? They don't need one. And I got thinking, you know, we don't need nothing else but him. If you have him, it's enough. It's enough. A lot of people are saying, well, you got to have water baptism plus him. No. They say, well, you got to count beads and do all this mighty works and all these, you got to do this, this, and this. No, you got to have him and him alone. And I got thinking about the alphabet. 26 letters. They ain't going to make another letter. They don't need it. Not only is it enough, but I got thinking about the alphabet, and I really pondered on this, really thought about it. And we have older folk here, and I'm not making fun of the older folk, but I'm going to say this, and we have older folk here that went to school years ago. Now, we're talking 40, 50 years ago probably. Probably some of them longer than that. And I got to thinking, which is greater, literature or the alphabet? And I got to thinking about older folk that used to go to school, you know what they call your books? Obsolete. But did you know the alphabet's just as fresh today? When all of the literature is obsolete, the alphabet is just as fresh today. And so it is with our God. He's just as fresh today. And I got to thinking about it. Did you know that they'll never be able to exhaust the alphabet? They've never come out and said, well, we got to go down to 25 letters. We've just plumb used the letter L up. Can't use that letter no more. We're going to have to do away with it. No. And the same way with God. Did you know he ain't lost ne'er a bit of his power? When he stepped out here and said, let there be! Did you know today he's still got as much power? He ain't drained none from what he had over there. And we've got a God that said, I am the alphabet. And just like the alphabet, is just as fresh today as it was when the first feller took a pen and wrote A, B, C. Still is fresh. Ain't lost none of it. And I got to thinking about it when it comes to my boy. I'm 38 year old. I got a little 2.5 year old boy. He ain't went to school yet. And when I went to school, I learned my alphabet. That's the first thing I learned. Started teaching me my ABCs. And I learned my ABCs. Now I know how to read. And my boy is 2.5. He ain't in school yet. And I got thinking about, you know, whenever he goes to school, that alphabet will be just as fresh for him as it was for me. And I got thinking about what it is to be born again. What it is to be saved. If you've been born again, just raise your hand. You remember the night you got saved. You remember how fresh it was. You remember how just, oh, it was unreal. But I can tell you tonight, you got babies. You got little kids. And they ain't yet come to the place where they seen themselves a sinner. Just like my little boy. One day, I'm praying that my little boy get under Holy Ghost conviction. And get drawn by the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you this, one day whenever that happens, Lord's will, God's going to be just as fresh for him as he was for me. He's fresh tonight. He ain't lost none of his power. And whenever you begin thinking about the alphabet and how the alphabet is like the Lord Jesus and oh, how sweet it is, they've got libraries, unbelievable. In Australia, Melbourne, Australia, they got libraries that's unbelievable. Country of England's got books, unbelievable. Here in America, we've got libraries, unbelievable. I mean, just it just blows my mind at all the literature that's been written. Yet in all that literature, 26 letters, that's all it was. Just 26. And when you begin thinking about it, and all that literature, they ain't never exhausted it. And yet, before we get out of here, I'd say there'll be a lot more books written. You can't never exhaust it. But I got to thinking about, in light of all the literature that's been written, in light of everything that has been written, and I got to thinking about how that if you was to take somebody and you was to walk them into these libraries, and they was to stand in awe and amazement at all of the literature, and they began looking around at all of books that's been written on history, English, science, and any other subject you want to talk about. I mean, when you talk about the Bible, I don't know of any other book that books have been written about a book other than the Bible. I mean, it's unreal. There's books we don't even know about that's been written about the Bible. And yet, in all of the literature that's been written, if you was to take somebody and you was to stand them in them great libraries and they began looking in awe and amazement at all that literature, and they did not know their ABCs, that would be nothing but confusion and make no sense whatsoever. And I got to thinking about life. You take somebody in life that does not know the alphabet. And I ain't talking about ABCs. I'm talking about the Lord. And you put them in life and they do not know the Lord. Life don't make sense. That's why man turns to drugs and alcohol and everything else, because they're trying to fill that void. And they're trying to cope with life but they've never learned their alphabet. That's why the suicide rate's so high. And I got to thinking about it. Now, we live in a day when education's a good thing. I'm for education. I'm for learning. I try all I can. But we live in a day when men and women, they cram education down our kids' throat. Now, I'm not against education. I hope you understand what I'm saying. But we live in a day whenever education, you got to get an education, you got to get one, you got to get one. And we stress it. And I'm not against getting an education. I'm not against a kid learning his ABCs. But I preach some, the Lord's open doors. I preach some in the mountains. And there's a church I preach in Salt Gum, Kentucky. Salt Gum Baptist Church. And I go in there, and it's amazing going in that little church. And when I go in there and see it, and the Lord opens, gives me opportunity, I go preach. And on the front row, all down the front row, is older men. Most of them are 70, 75, 85, all up in late 70s and 80s. And they'll all walk in, and they'll be carrying their Bible. And they'll take their Bible, and they'll open up their Bible. And while I'm preaching, I'll come down and walk amongst them a little bit. And I've got to noticing that the text in which I'm preaching out of, they ain't there. They just have their Bible open. And they amen and praise God and hallelujah. And I got to finding out that them men didn't know how to read. And I got to thinking about it. A lot of times we want to cram the ABCs down our kids. But more important than learning your ABCs, you better learn the alphabet. Them men didn't know their ABCs, but they knew the alphabet. And because they had learned the alphabet, the Alpha and Omega, the God of heaven, they was able to live life. Now, I'm not saying not to learn. You need to learn. But very, very important that we teach our children about the Lord Jesus. I'm glad that He is my alphabet. I'm glad He's my alphabet. I read this. I'm going to read this to you. A story is told of a distinguished man of science who had to cross a river in a rowing boat. As the man at the oars pulled him across, this man asked him, said, "Sir, do you know science?" That feller said, "No." He said, "Sir, a quarter of your life is gone." He said, "Sir, do you know geology?" He said, "No." He said, "I ain't never learned geology." He said, "Half of your life is gone." While rowing, the man asked him another question, said, "Sir, do you know biology?" That feller pulling them oars said, "No, sir, I don't." And just then they hit a log floating down that river, knocked a hole in that boat. Just then, whenever they began going under, that oarsman hollered out, "Do you know how to swim?" And that feller said, "No." He said, "Your whole life's gone." You can know all there is to know of life, but if you don't know the Lord, it's all gone. I tell you what, we're living in a day when it's intellectual. We know it up here, but God help us to get it down here. I'm thankful that He's the Almighty of life. I'm thankful that He's the author of life. But I'm thankful that He's my alphabet of life. I'm thankful for the day that I learned my alphabet. Do you know your alphabet tonight? Do you know your alphabet? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You tonight. Lord, I tried my best to mind You.